Continue our series on our Sunday night, James, a faith that works, amen. Tonight I'm going to be talking about a divine sense for Christian living. Divine sense for Christian living. It's about communicating wisely to others. But before I do, I'm going to have a word of prayer and a song as well. And also apologize for our morning service. I had some complications. I had lost my power. And didn't get my clocks all going and wasn't able to get started on time, so we said we'll just do it next Sunday. So we apologize for not making our live broadcast at the church. We were there, but we just weren't able to do it on. But good Lord willing, if He doesn't come back here soon, well, we'll be trying our best to do that next Sunday. And so our apologies to all of our members that we're going to be tuning us in. So just keep us praying that we'll get that accomplished. We always have the enemy that's trying to work against us as well. And so tonight, as we look and realize that we're going to have a word of prayer, but before we try to sing or anything, I'm going to have two songs. I'm also going to do a re-singing on that song, Majesty, because I had the wrong songbook, amen. And didn't realize that they were two different songs. It goes to show you can mess up sometimes, but when you're working and doing something for the Lord, I don't believe you can mess up, amen. I don't care how bad you think it is. When you're trying to make an effort, you can give glory and honor to Him. And so tonight, before we do anything else, let's open up and remember. It was good to see Earl Matheson at church today recovering from his surgery. You just continue to remember him. And also you, Bradley, keep him in your prayers, Helen Bradley. Lord knows that we've got a lot of folks. Gail George, keep her in your prayers. We've got a lot of people that still are not able to come back because it's not good for them to come back right now. But I thank God, Dot and Eugene Jenkins, we lift them up as well. I thank God, the Masseys, Lord, when you're not there, we miss you. Each and every one, it's good to see Richie today, and I thank God so many that have come back and started attending, and so we're still practicing social distancing, our masks, and please, I want to encourage you to be safe in all that you do as you work today. Let's have a word of prayer, though. Father, I lift up each and every need in our church family, and I pray, God, Lord, tonight, Lord, that you'll just let us take the word of God and give glory and honor to you in the book of James, especially as we receive wisdom to communicate with others, Father, and Lord, to be wise about doing that, as James instructs us tonight in James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. And so, Father, I pray, God, that you'll just give us the ability to speak on your behalf, give glory and honor to you. Bless our home and our families. Be with each and every one of our church family that are living for you, Father, each and every day. And Lord, I pray, God, that you'll be with the many that are out there that are going through times, Lord, with sickness and trouble, cancer. Father, I pray, God, that you'll be the great physician that they need. And Lord, be with our home church as well and all of our families. And Lord, tonight, Lord, bless this word of God as we read it and give glory and honor to you tonight in Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, now, we'll actually start out with our songs here tonight. I am going to make a setting on here because I think sometimes if you don't set this thing, I wonder sometimes what happens with that, as I'm still all new about everything with this, but trying to do the best that we can. And so there we go. I'll put that on there. But it is good as we come into each and every one of your homes tonight. And we're going to start out with A Majesty, which is a praise and worship song that we tried the other day and had the wrong songbook, amen. And we're just not going to let that discourage us. The best way is to keep right on going, amen. I may not be able to sing it that great, but we're going to sing it and give glory to God tonight, because worship is one of the most important things that you use, not only to give glory to God, but also to overcome the enemy that comes against you. He can't stand it. He can't hang around when you're giving glory and honor to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Majesty, worship His majesty. Unto Jesus be all glory, honor, and praise. Majesty, kingdom, authority, flow from His throne unto His home, His anthem raise. So exalt Lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus the King. Majesty, worship His majesty. Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings. He lives. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Amen. Boy, that's some good praise. Amen. It sure was good being at church this morning with our church family. As we look at James, Divine Sense for Christian Living. Amen. Now, I thank God as we look at this, we're talking about communicating wisely to others. Amen. And so, I thank God. If you've got your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me to James chapter 3. And if not, I'll try to. Hopefully, I'll make colors that you can actually look behind me and follow with me tonight. Amen. I want to remind you that so far where we've been, and as we look at tonight in James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18, this is Sunday night, July the 26th, 2020, of the 5th of AV, 5780. Now, this is another month. This is the fifth month of AV that deals with the month of the Father. It deals with the tribe of Simeon. And it talks about being able to be to hear and to be concerned. In the July, August, it comes from Amos 3:8. And I thank God as we look at this another month in the Hebrew calendar, because one of these days, believe it or not, the Lord's going to be going by His calendar of the Hebrew calendar more than anything else. And believe it or not, we'll fall into line with that in the coming days and in the future. And so this is one of those things that I try to keep up with, both the Julian calendar and Gregorian calendar and our calendar, which is, I say, the Jewish calendar, because that's the one that the Lord goes by each and every one of the days that we have. And that's very important as well. And so I thank God. You know, you remember back in James chapter 1, verses 1 through 18, James dealt with the subject of trials and how that we expect Christians to respond to those trials. And he expects us to endure trials with rejoicing. In James chapter 1, verses 19 through 27, he turns to the subject of true Christianity and the claims to faith and the false claims to faith as well. In verses 26 and 27, he gives us a summary statement of what true religion consists of. I thank God, first of all, it shows us our speech, it shows us our care for needy Christians, and it shows in our refusal to conform to the prevailing worldliness that's around us today. You know, today, that's the problem with Christians. They're following in line with the culture of the world instead of sticking to the Word of God and what God's principles are. And so I thank God, don't let anything ever change you, for the Word of God is powerful. Amen. And so James begins to focus upon in chapter 2 and chapter 3 through the rest of the book, in which he addresses each of the areas of true religion that he does. In James chapter 2, verses 1 through 13, he talks about sinful partiality with true fellowship. And in James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26, he shows the evidence of true faith, a faith which acts, a faith which works, and a faith which obeys, and a faith which loves. And then in James chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, last time we talked that James briefly addressed teachers and raised the challenge that teachers have a higher standard of guarding their own tongues and using their tongues to build up rather than to divide and to tear down. And so the rest of the chapter in James chapter 3, verses 3 through 12, he focuses more on the issue of the tongue. That brings us to the passage that we're looking at tonight, Sunday night, in which James speaks about wisdom. And you may be wondering, what's the connection between the sins of the tongue and this challenge? And I thank God, he gives us an area of the tongue, and then suddenly he starts talking about wisdom. And so I thank God tonight you'll look at James, and James stresses that the tongue was simply a reflection of what was in the heart. And he said that that could not be changed by our own effort, but it has to be changed, and the heart has to be changed by God. And so you have God's grace in order to have a changed heart. And so moving us from the symptom of the problem to the source of the problem, in the heart, James asked the question about how one knows whether one has true wisdom in one's heart tonight. And so I thank God as we pick up, we're going to start off reading the Word of God. If you've got your Scripture handy, if not, hopefully that I put it where it'll be legible enough and big enough where you can see it and follow along with me here tonight in James chapter 3, verse 13 tonight. The Bible says, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you, let him shew out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom." And so I thank God. He says that if there's any of you who are wise and understanding, you are to prove it by your good life and by your good deeds performed with the humanity and wisdom that is there. Amen. As we go on, he tells us in verse 14, he says, "But if ye have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth." Amen. You know, I thank God. He's telling us, he says, that in your heart, if you're jealous and bitter and selfish, don't sin against the truth by boasting of your wisdom. Amen. And so he goes right on in verse 15. He tells us, "This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish." Amen. He says that this wisdom does not come down from heaven. It belongs to the world, and it's unspiritual, and it's demonic. Amen. And so in verse 16, he says, "For where envying and strife is, there's confusion in every evil work." So he says, he's talking about jealousy and selfishness, that this is the disorder and every kind of evil that goes with it. Amen. And as we're talking about the divine sense for Christian living tonight, only two more verses to go in verse 17. "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy." I thank God he tells us as this, he says, the wisdom from above is pure, first of all. It's also peaceful, it's gentle, it's friendly, it's full of compassion, and it produces a harvest for good deeds, and it's free from prejudice and hypocrisy. Amen. And so I thank God. And then verse 18, he says, "And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." This is the last of the reading of the Word of God. He says, goodness is the harvest that's produced from the seeds the peacemakers plant in peace. I thank God as we end the reading of God's holy inspired Word. And may its eternal truths be upon our hearts tonight. But I thank God. How do you know if you're wise? How does a person know that he or she is wise? Here in the book of James, amen. How do you know if there is wisdom, real wisdom, true wisdom stored up in your heart? Now, I thank God James asked this passage today, and he gives a very good and a very careful answer, because James is already turning to that third topic, which he mentions in James chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, amen. As I bring up the Word of God, James chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, that he tells us of that topic, he says, listen, he says, "If any man among you seem to be religious and bridles not his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religious is vain, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world." Now, thank God, each and every one of us, here he talks about that true religion shows itself in speech. You know, James 1:27 that it shows the care and the concern, the practical love that's shown toward other Christians that are in need. And true religion shows itself in separating itself from the worldliness out there today. Amen. He gives himself almost a subject of, as James begins to tell us about this. But I thank God, as we look, wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord, and worldliness begins without the fear of the Lord. And so, worldliness always entails a lack of wisdom. And James has three important things that he wants to say to us about wisdom in this passage, amen. And I thank God, as we get over to it, the most important thing about this scripture is the highlight of it, which is verse 18. And I thank God, he says, "And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." And I thank God, that's the key verse, is verse 18 of chapter 3. Because James says, every day in every relationship, you're going to be planting seeds. Seeds that are anger, seeds of jealousy, seeds of peace, seeds that are confidence, insecurity, many different kinds of seeds, James says. So you will inevitably reap in your relationships. And I thank God, how can I plant seeds of peace? How can I be that peacemaker? How can I have a peaceful relationship with those that are around me in my families today? Amen. And so wisdom, as we learn how to be wise in the way we act toward people, we treat people in very foolish ways. We provoke the exact opposite behavior of what we would normally like to see in them. Common sense is not so common, but a lot of smart people are not too wise. They may have diplomas all over the walls and all kinds of things, but they still don't have the wisdom, the biblical wisdom, the godly wisdom that James is talking about here tonight, amen. And so, James does three things. He defines real wisdom, and then he shows how it differs from human wisdom, and then he details how it operates. And so the first thing he says in verse 13 is that wisdom is a lifestyle, amen. It has nothing to do with your intelligence. It has everything to do with your relationship and your character, amen. And so the first you'll see in verses 13 and 14 where he talks about true wisdom that's being shown by the behavior, amen. And then the second thing that we're going to talk about, you'll see in verses 15 and 16 where he shows us negatively what false wisdom looks like, amen. Imagine if James was to go by over at People's Valley Baptist Church. I thank God, and I thank God next Sunday night our church is going to be going over to Cass High School and be prayer walking over there. And so if you have an opportunity between 4 and 5, just come on and be with us. We're going to be starting out with our concerns for all of our kids in our county, in Bartow County, and we're going to be prayer walking, amen. Come on over there with us, amen, and join us. We'll have some cold water for you, amen. But I thank God, can you imagine James showing up over at People's Valley Baptist Church? And you know what? He says, he walks up and he says, you know what? I'm going to see the hands of those who are wise. You know what? It's about like if we was in the military. If you're dumb enough to raise your hand to volunteer for something, hey, you deserve it, amen. And so, you know what? You're dumb enough to raise your hand. You know what? You know what he's going to say? Prove it to me. Show me your wisdom by your lifestyle. It's not a matter of what you say with your lips, but it's a matter of what you live with your life. Not a matter of your words, but of your works. Not so much the diplomas on the wall, but your disposition that really shows how wise you truly are. How do you get along with other people? That shows how wise that you really are. It's what? It's a lifestyle. And so I thank God, wisdom has more to do with character in relationships than it has to do with education, than it has to do with intelligence. And wisdom creates humanity. Knowledge causes pride, but wisdom causes humility, amen. And so verses 14 and 15, James says the lack of wisdom causes all kinds of problems, amen. You harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition, amen. And so I thank God as he's talking about these things. And so I'm going to try to hurry up and get right on into our thing, amen, that we've got here tonight. And so I thank God if I'm wise, I'll not compromise my integrity, in other words. And so I thank God each and every one of us in 1 John 3:3, the word is used to refer to Christ's character as integrity. If I'm really genuine, if I'm wise, I'm not going to lie to you, I'm not going to cheat you, and I'm not going to manipulate you, and I'm not going to be deceitful, amen, because of a person that has integrity, hallelujah. And so I thank God as we look and realize how truly blessed. So if I'm wise, I'll not compromise my integrity. And if I'm wise, I'll not antagonize your anger as well. Amen. Because wisdom is peace-loving. Have you ever met someone who's always arguing or someone that likes to start stuff, you know? If you're smart, you don't antagonize people's anger. Amen. Each and every one of us, we realize that the third thing that we're going to talk about in verses 17 and 18 is where he shows us what true wisdom looks like when we get down there. Amen. And so I thank God as we get over into it tonight, how do you know that you have a divine sense of wisdom in your heart? Let's get to that first point. Amen. I thank God. Well, I think there's one over there. I should have took that off. Amen. I left some of the old stuff on there. Let me get past it and get to where I'm supposed to be. Well, man. Don't tell me I got to put the wrong one up on this thing. Man. Well, I'll tell you what. Let me get that back out of the way, and I'll just tell it anyway and put it back over on the Word. You know how I did that? Oh, yeah. Well, I got the Scripture right, amen. But I thank God tonight, how do you know you have the divine sense of wisdom in your heart? Number one, a true Christian lives wisdom. They live wisdom. And that is, their life, course and choices are characterized by divine wisdom. That's why this is called divine sense for Christian living tonight. You know, because how do you know that you have a divine sense of wisdom in your heart, amen? Well, I thank God, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? That's the question that James is saying, amen. He says, are there any of you who are wise and understanding? That's what he's saying. And so I thank God. It's a worthy question, amen. I thank God because who is wise and intelligent? James mentions both wisdom and knowledge, amen. Both of these things are not the same. You know? Many people today, they think that they are, but they're not the same thing. And so I thank God as we look and realize that some have knowledge today, even getting straight A's in school, but they have no wisdom. Knowledge enables us to take things apart. Wisdom, however, enables us to put things together and to relate God's truth to daily living. It's better to have wisdom without learning than to have learning without wisdom. And so I thank God the word knowledge comes from the Greek word epistemo, which means intelligent, experience, one having the knowledge of an expert. And so I thank God as we look and realize the idea that it's talking to us about, amen, that he continues to say that if you've got wisdom, then let's see it. Show it to me in your works, amen. And so I thank God, each and every one of us, as we look and realize that that's one of the greatest things that we can do as Christians, because James is talking about practical Christianity, or Christianity that's in action, amen. A true test of wisdom is in works and not words. Wisdom is measured by deeds, not degrees, amen. And wisdom is not the acquiring of truth, but the applying of truth, amen. So worthy wisdom is truly living your life by God's work. Amen. And so I thank God we are to show our wisdom with meekness. And I thank God every one of us, a gentleness that accepts dealings and dispositions. Amen. And so I thank God each and every one of us. Proverbs 23 says any fool can start arguments, and the wise thing is to stay out of them. And so what causes arguments? I had a thing, but there's three things that cause arguments. Amen. And so I thank God as we look and realize that we the first thing is we start comparing somebody. You're just like, why can't you be like? When I was your age, you're asking for a fight. My first husband, my first wife. You see, 2 Corinthians 10:12 says it's unwise to compare. So when you start comparing, you're going to cause an argument. That's number one. Number two, the second thing that's going to cause an argument is condemning. Hey, it's all your fault. You should be ashamed. You lay on the guilt. You're always, you're never, you ought to, you should, you shouldn't. Someone said you can bury a marriage with a lot of little things, amen. So all the things, when you start condemning and giving fault finding, you're going to cause an argument. And the third thing of the three things that cause arguments is contradicting somebody. Contradicting somebody. You know, somebody does that, it's the hardest thing, even with me, to hold my tongue. But because I've been at it for a while, with the maturity is the thing that helps me a lot of times, amen. You know, even in church, man, I mean, I come close to a fine ledge there sometimes that wasn't for the Holy Spirit, that I'd jump right up in their face, amen. But I thank God, contradicting is, how do you like to be interrupted in the middle of a sentence? It's irritating. It's irritating. James says, if you're wise, you don't sweat the small stuff. And so I thank God. The secret of wisdom is knowing what to overlook. Amen. And so I thank God. Of course, you know, you shouldn't have anything like this in church. We don't. We don't have anything in church like this. But I thank God there's always somebody that you'll run into, or maybe on the job, that is contradicting. And all of a sudden, they're not too smart because they're fixing to get in an argument with somebody. And what's so bad is people are so mean today, they're liable to just shoot you. That's the kind of environment that we're in today, because it's sad what the world has went to today. If I'm smart, if I'm wise in my relationship, I won't compromise my integrity. I won't antagonize somebody's anger, amen. In other words, James is saying that a true Christian lives wisdom. And so I thank God, wisdom is not just about a matter of notions that you know or things that you assent to, but it shows in the way that you live, hallelujah. And so I thank God, each and every one of us, a true Christian lives that wisdom, that divine sense for Christian living, amen. That's the life's course, and that's the Christian's choices in life that are characterized by divine wisdom, amen. And so when you hear James start talking about wisdom in verses 13 through 18, you wonder if his mind is running back to the very first subject that he introduced in the chapter, when what he was talking about was in verse 1 and 2, amen. Boy, I tell you, thank God, in James chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, amen, that he tells us, amen. But I tell you, every one of us, as we look, well, hang on. Actually, he's talking about that in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 3. He says, my brethren, be not many matters, knowing what we shall receive the greater condemnation for. In many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. And so, every one of us as teachers, he's talking to you, teacher. You need to be careful, very careful, teachers. Hey, that includes me. You need to be careful, preachers. I thank God, because it would be natural that James would be talking about teachers who teach the true wisdom, who live the true wisdom, and teachers who claim to teach the true wisdom instead of living a false a wisdom that's there, amen. And so I thank God. It's all about revealing what's in your heart, amen. Revealing simply what's in your heart. So who is wise, he says in verse 13, amen, that he's telling us this, amen. And so every one of us, James is saying, and the fact that he may be saying just a little bit more, but he's saying that wisdom is not simply seeing how we may acknowledge God in all of our ways, but actually seeing and doing it, amen. And so I thank God as we move on. The second thing is a false wisdom shows itself in its results in 15 and 16. How do we know you have divine sense of wisdom in your heart? Well, number two, false wisdom shows itself in its results, amen. And so I thank God, every one of us, he says, this wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish, amen. The true Christian lives his life course and choices by divine wisdom. But secondly, false wisdom shows itself in its results. That's reading verses 15 and 16, amen, that he's talking about. And so I thank God he's teaching that the character and the results of the wisdom from below show you whether a person is truly wise. He says that false wisdom, though it's hard to pin down, sometimes false wisdom is harder to see than you might think, amen. And so you might expect James to give you an easy, simple package, a Sunday school answer to question of who is wise. James knows that it's hard sometimes to tell the difference between heavenly wisdom and unheavenly wisdom, between true wisdom and false wisdom. And so here in verses 15 and 16, he says that false wisdom, though hard to pin down, sometimes shows itself in its product. You can always see false wisdom in what it produces, and you can see false wisdom in its results. So James lists the characteristics of false wisdom are the wisdom from below, amen. He actually calls us wisdom that's not from above, amen. And so I thank God that's what he's talking about in verses 15. It's earthly, it's natural, it's demonic, amen, that he's talking about, amen. And so I thank God as we look and realize in the third part, in closing, he says that he's telling us true wisdom shows itself in its result as well, verses 17 and 18. So how do you know you've got divine sense of wisdom in your heart, amen? True wisdom, number one, lives his life course and choices by divine wisdom. False wisdom shows itself in its results. But the third one is right the opposite. True wisdom shows itself end results. In verses 17 and 18, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. But the wisdom from above, let me get to that next one. He said, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. And so I thank God. He shows us the character and the results of wisdom, which is from above. Amen. Sometimes it's hard to pin down. It shows itself in its product. And so true wisdom isn't always easy to see. Sometimes true wisdom is a hard truth that's hard to swallow. And for that very reason, it's not easy to see. The wounds of a friend are sometimes hard to distinguish from the barbs of an enemy. And so I thank God it's hard to pin down and show itself as in a product, amen. But in verses 17 and 18, he gives us the character and the result of wisdom which is from above. True wisdom is known by 8 characteristics and 1 result. I thank God. Wisdom from above, as 1 James says, pure. There's purity. There's a cleanness before God. There's a holiness in this wisdom that's characterized the truly wise person and wise Christian. Secondly, it's peace-promoting. It's peaceable. He says true religion, true wisdom is peaceable. It promotes peace among the brethren. And now, this is not peace at all costs. There are many that may be listening, and I thank God sometimes the Bible is loyal to God as we sometimes start worshiping in our congregation, amen. I thank God one of the greatest things that we can do is come together and worship our Lord and Savior and show that love and fellowship among us, because there's nothing like being among the men and women of God when you're back in church, amen. And so I thank God, each and every one of us, I'm talking about having peace at all costs, because we don't want something to happen in the church that would divide a church up, amen. We don't want gossip in the church, amen. We don't need that. Christians promote peace among the brethren. And when they do that, they're wise, amen. Well, I thank God. Maybe you hear about churches that are always having problems and disunity, amen. There's a serious issue going on in there. Real wisdom is peace-promoting. It has an agenda to promote godly, spiritual, true Christian unity among themselves as the true believers, amen. And I thank God it doesn't compromise on faith. It's far from it. James is talking about it. And so I thank God he tells us that unity is very, very priceless, but it's an important commodity, and it seeks to promote that peace, amen. Thirdly, he says it's gentle. It demands or made upon others. He's gentle. He's meek. Have you ever met a young Christian, maybe just got saved and very conscious of their sins, which he or she was committed prior to getting saved, and they were absolutely determined that the entire church it was going to repent immediately by their sins, you know. And so I thank God right now, every one of us, as we go through life, no matter how old we are, there's always a challenge that this old fleshly nature, that we've got to keep it crucified and under subjection of the Holy Spirit of God, amen. And so each and every one of us, as we look and realize that, is tremendous blessing to go for. The fourth thing that we see is a person who has true wisdom is not unwilling to respond to reasonable requests. True wisdom isn't always something that's figured out, or it's quiet to listen to. It's a reasonable, amen. It doesn't cut off 3 words into a sentence and try to request something, amen. And so I thank God. The fifth true wisdom is sympathy and compassion. It's full of mercy. And I thank God that it has toward other believers, amen. The sixth thing is true wisdom displays the fruit of the Spirit's work in our life. It's full of good fruits, amen. And I thank God you can look at a person with true wisdom and some good measure and be able to say, yes, I see the fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and faithfulness, and self-control. And in some measures, in that person, amen. And true wisdom, it says, is unwavering. That's the seventh thing that James says, amen. It's not hot one day and cold the next. It's not wise one day and all of a sudden it's off the next. Amen. It's accurate, praise God. It's with consistency. It has focus, endurance, perseverance, and steadfast to true wisdom. Amen. And 8, it's not hypocritical. It's without hypocrisy. The true wise person, the wise Christian, is no hypocrite. She or he is a person of integrity. They're whole. And I thank God on the inside and the outside. And I thank God there's as they continue to do those things, amen, before us each and every day, that we look and realize that as I close out tonight, we are truly blessed tonight to come to you tonight out of the book of James as he describes wisdom, and he describes it with verbal imperatives. Do this and you'll be wise. He doesn't even describe it with a definition. This is what true wisdom is. He shows you what true wisdom is by how it looks in a person's life, because true wisdom isn't just about the notions that you assent to. True wisdom is about acknowledging the Lord in all of your ways. It's about 35 minutes so far, and I thank God as I get ready to close out. I want to close out tonight as we look at talking about divine sense for Christian living with a true story tonight. And I thank God as we look and realize that it's always a privilege. I remember reading about in Ernest Gordon's true account of his life in World War II, a Japanese prison camp through the Valley of Kwai. There was a story about a very moving, challenging, unselfish man who, through giving it all away, literally transformed the entire camp of the soldiers. Angus McGivray. Angus was a Scottish prisoner in one of the camps filled with Americans, Australians, and Britons who have helped build the infamous bridge over the River Kwai. The camp had become an ugly situation. It was a dog-eat mentality that had set in. Allies would literally steal from the other, cheat each other, and men would sleep on their backs and yet have them stolen from under their heads. Survival was everything. The law of the jungle prevailed until the news of Angus McGivray's death spread throughout the camp. Rumors spread in the wake of his death. No one could believe that Big Angus had succumbed. He was strong, one of those who had expected to be the last to die. But actually, it wasn't the fact of his death that shocked the men, but it was the reason and unselfish way that he died. Finally, they pieced together the true story of the Scottish soldiers that took their buddy systems very seriously. Now, thank God, their buddies were called muckers. Now, these muckers believed that it was really up to each other of them to make sure that their mucker, their buddy, survived. Angus's mucker, though he was dying and everyone had given up on him, he had made up his mind that his friend was not going to die. Someone had stolen his mucker's blanket. And so Angus gave him his own, telling him that he had just come across an extra one. Every meal, Angus would get his rations and take them to his friend. He would stand over him and force him to eat them, again stating that he was able to get extra food, amen. And so Angus was going to do anything and everything to see that his buddy got what he needed to recover. But as Angus' mucker began to recover, Angus collapsed, and he slumbered over, and he died. The doctors discovered that he had died of starvation, complicated by exhaustion. He had been given every bit of his own food and shelter. He had given everything that he had, even his very life, for his mucker, for his friend, for his buddy. The ramifications of his acts of love and unselfishness had started an impact on that compound. I tell you, the Bible says, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now, thank God, Angus McGivray's death, the feel of the camp began to change. Suddenly, men began to focus on their mates, their friends, humanity, of living beyond survival, of giving themselves away, and they began to pool their talents together. One was a violin maker, another an orchestra leader, another a cabinet maker, another a professor. Soon the camp had an orchestra full of homemade instruments and a church called the Church Without Walls that was so powerful, that was so compelling, that even the Japanese guards attended the services. The men began a university, a hospital, and a library system. The place was transformed, and all but smothering love was revived, all because of one man named Angus that gave all that he had for his friend. For many of those men, this turnaround meant survival. What happened is an awesome illustration of the potential unleashed when one unselfish person actually loves others and gives of himself. We become like Christ in our attitude and our actions, and may the Lord help us all to die to self and to be unselfish. He who only lives for himself is truly dead to others. Father, thank you for the great honor and privilege of speaking on behalf of our great Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for the salvation of the many that have not come into the family of God. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Father, I pray, God, if there's somebody out there listening to this tonight, and they never remember asking Jesus Christ to come in and be the keeper of their soul, Father, all they got to do is remember those Romans 10:13. I thank God, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Father, I ask your touch upon them tonight. And Lord, go with us in our church in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Thank you, and what a great honor it is to be with you.